Did anybody find eggs number 1 to 4? Okay, come on up. You found two of them with numbers on, did you? You've got one of them there. Any more with numbers on them? Have you got a number on yours? What have we got? Number 3? Number 1? Oh, excellent. We're all here. We've all found something in these eggs this morning. Now, if you didn't find an egg when you were looking around this morning, I don't want anybody to go home without an egg this morning. I'm talking to the younger children, by the way. Okay? I have an egg for every younger child here today, okay? So if you didn't find an egg, we'll sort you out at the end of the service. You gave yours away, did you? You're very good. That's a great example to set on Easter Sunday morning. So we're going to open these eggs. We're going to have a look at them. Who's got number 1? Because we want to unpack the Easter story this morning. So we're going to have a look at number 1, first of all, and see if we can find what's in it. And as usual, I've taped it up far too tight, haven't I? You guys can start opening your eggs as well if you want, because we could be here for a very long time this morning otherwise, couldn't we? It's all very exciting up here this morning. A sense of anticipation. Okay, wait now. Don't show anybody yet what you found inside your egg. Is it? What's in there? Let's have a look.
A cross.
What have we got? Hold it up. It's a cross, because the cross reminds us at the very centre of the Easter story, we remember, don't we, that Jesus died on a cross. Jesus spoke about his death on many occasions. He forecasted, he prophesied it, and then eventually he died as a demonstration of God's love for how much he loved us. Isn't that right? Yeah. Good. So you hold on to the cross. Okay. What have we got next? Who's got number 2? You've got number 2. Are we getting anywhere? What have we got in here? Just hold those up. What are they?
Nails.
Nails remind us of a very sad part of the Easter story, don't they? They were much bigger nails than these that they used for Jesus. But Jesus was nailed to a cross so that we could be forgiven for the wrong things that we've done. You want to hold on to those? In fact, if you could put the laptop back on here, we can put some bigger pictures up so that if you can't see what we're doing here, then you can have a look at these. So we looked at the cross, which reminds us of how much God loves us. We've looked at the nails, which remind us how much Jesus suffered and died. Now, who's got the third one? What have we got in there? What is it?
A
rock or a stone. This reminds us of the part of the Easter story when Jesus died. They put him in a big tomb, didn't they? And they sealed the tomb with a huge stone. But Easter Sunday morning reminds us that the stone couldn't keep Jesus in the grave. It was rolled away again. And as we'll see in our next egg, what have we got in the next one? Have you managed to open that? What's in there?
Nothing.
Why do you think that's got nothing in it?
Because
there was nothing in the tomb on Easter Sunday morning. That's right, the tomb was empty. That's an important part of the Easter story that we're celebrating today, because Jesus has risen. So thank you for helping me, okay? You want to leave me the nails, because that's probably the bit that probably should stay up here, I think, to you. And I'll take that as well. And you guys can head back to your seats, all right? Because we're going to read the Easter story now. If you've got a Bible handy or nearby, maybe in one of the seats in front of you, we're going to Luke chapter 24 this morning. It's on page 1061, so we can all find it. And we're going to read together this story that we've started to put together about the cross and the nails and the stone and the empty tomb. It's all here in Luke 24. This is what Luke says in Luke 24. He says, on the first day of the week, that's the day that we're celebrating today, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. And they found the tomb rolled away, the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Now, if some of our children can't see too well here, you can see this room over the front side here. If you want to come round across to the front, then do that by all means, okay? I'll just hang on for a minute. The puppets like us to be really quiet because they like to surprise us sometimes. So are we ready? Okay.
Oh. I had a massive Easter egg this morning. It was golden and shiny And it came in a beautiful box. It was as big as my head. But do you know what?
What?
Well, when I opened it, it was hollow. There was just a thin bit of chocolate and then a big, fat nothing.
You didn't really expect it to be solid chocolate, did you?
Well, it would have been nice. I feel cheated.
I think you'd be feeling pretty sick if you had eaten a solid chocolate egg as big as your head.
Well, maybe you're right.
You bet I am. Besides, whatever your experience with eggs, we've still got the Easter story to celebrate.
Well, actually, I'm kind of disappointed about the whole tomb thing as well.
Why is that?
Well, Jesus said he was all these wonderful things and then goes and ends up there. It's just not what I expected.
Ah, but you see, that's the whole point. He doesn't end up there.
No?
No. Look inside. What do you see?
Hang on. Ouch! Ooh, it's very dark in here. Let's try a torch. No, batteries have gone. Let's try a match. No, that doesn't work either. I know. I'll just feel around. Over here. What was that? No, it's empty. No, nothing. It's as empty as the inside of my wallet.
Exactly.
Hang on, come in. What do you mean, exactly? I've been looking forward to Easter for weeks, and now it's here, I feel cheated.
Cheated? How so?
It's empty.
And?
Yeah, nothing in it. It makes me think there's nothing in it.
Well, you see, that means there's something in it after all.
Oh? How so?
Remember what Jesus said about the 3 days later?
Oh, yes. If I die 3 days later, I'll rise again.
That's it. When he died on the cross, that wasn't the end of it at all.
You mean he knew all along?
Yes, but no one believed him, really. They all thought when he died that was it. Finito. All over. Last one out, turn off the lights. It's a wrap. Let's go home. But something made them stick around.
Well, bet they were glad they did.
Too right. Today everything has changed. Because in there is empty. In here is full.
Oh, you've had too much Easter chocolate too.
No, not my stomach. My heart. It's like his new life is my new life as well.
So, there's no need to feel disappointed?
None at all. This is the best thing ever. Because he lives, we live. Because he beats death, we don't need to be afraid of it either.
That's great news! Well, I don't feel so bad anymore. In fact, I feel peckish.
I don't believe it. Anyone would think you've got hollow legs. Well, say goodbye before you go.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Well, there we go. Now, stay where you are for a minute, because we're going to pray this morning. Sometimes when we pray, we just say amen at the end of our prayer. But this morning, we're going to do things a bit differently. At the end of this prayer, we're going to say it in a different way. The men are going to say, alive. And the ladies are going to say, risen. You've got the hang of it already. And the children, here's a new bit for us, are going to say, today. You could do that. So let's pray. Risen Lord Jesus, you died for our sins, for the sins of this world. We believe that you are alive, risen today. Yeah, we're going to continue to pray. Forgive us when we say and do things that are wrong. Remind us again that on this special day that you are alive today. We pray, and this is very important, we pray for those who are in prison today because of their faith in Jesus Christ. May they know that you are alive, risen today. We pray for countries and communities where people are fighting against each other. May they know that you are alive, risen today. We pray for people who are sick or who are lonely today. May they know that you are alive, risen today. Risen Lord Jesus, help us to share this wonderful news of your resurrection with those around us so that they may know that you are alive today. We offer our prayers, trusting in the power of your resurrection, believing that you are alive, risen today. And we say together, Amen. How do you know that the tomb was empty? Is it just a story, or have we got some way of working out what it's all about? So I thought what we would do is literally, excuse the pun, put the pieces together and see if we can work out why we can trust this story. You see, there are a lot of eyewitnesses, there are a lot of people who actually saw Jesus coming back alive again. They met him and they became eyewitnesses, and they're telling us their story in the Bible. And when we hear eyewitness stories, it reminds us that these are people who actually saw this happen. They met Jesus. And Luke, when he wrote his gospel, starts his gospel or his story about Jesus, he's saying lots of people have tried to put this story together. He says, the way I put this story together is he says, I've gone looking for eyewitnesses. That's what he says. He says, look, a history that took place using reports handed down by eyewitnesses. He says, I've investigated all the reports in close detail, starting from the story's beginning, and I decided to write it all out for you. We can trust the Bible when it comes to the stories about Jesus and about what it says about the resurrection. So let's see if we can put some of these eyewitness accounts together. Who has got number one in the middle of their egg? You got number one in there, have you? Number one. Yellow. Okay. Do you want to stand up on the platform there for a minute? Behind me. Who's got the other half of yellow? Okay. Can you put those pieces together? And what does it say on the back when you put the pieces together?
Mary and Mary.
There were two Marys, you see, in the Easter story. And there's their names up on the screen. They were eyewitnesses. They were the first people to arrive at the tomb. And when they got to the tomb was empty. And they met somebody who said to them, Jesus is alive. And these two Marys, they saw this with their very own eyes. And the messenger said to them, go and tell Peter and his disciples. So who's got number two in the middle of their egg? You've got number two there. Purple. Who's got the other half of purple? You guys want to stand up as well? Try and find out as you put the pieces together who the next eyewitnesses were.
Peter and the disciples.
Peter and the disciples. Well, that's exactly where Jesus appeared next. If I can find my slide here. Peter and the disciples. Jesus went to Galilee. And here's a verse from the Bible which tells us about that story. It says, afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. More eyewitnesses who actually saw it happen. Who's got number three? Number three, the green one. Okay, up on the stage there with number three. Let's put the pieces together. Let's see who Jesus appeared to. What does it say on the back?
500
all at once. This is a remarkable appearance that Jesus made. We're not told too many details about it, but we know that on one occasion Jesus appeared to 500 people all at the same time. That's about probably twice the number of people here this morning who all saw Jesus with their own eyes. And here's what Paul says when he was writing a letter to a church in a place called Corinth. He He said the Messiah died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised. He presented himself alive to Peter. We thought about Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers, all at the same time. Most of them were still alive, still living. So Paul was saying, you can check this out for yourself. If you don't believe me, says Paul, go and talk to some of the people who saw Jesus for themselves. Now, who's got the next one? What are we on to now? Number four. No. Who's four? You got four in the middle there? That's the blue one, isn't it? Who's got the other half of yours? Okay, let's put it together. And let's see who the next eyewitnesses were. What does it say? The apostles. Okay, they were some of the special people that were responsible for leading the early church. They also saw Jesus with their own eyes. Here they are, James and the apostles. And here's a verse in the Bible which tells us about them. Then Jesus spent time with James and the rest of those he had commissioned. Now, James was the brother of Jesus. So I guess if he saw Jesus, he probably would have recognized them, wouldn't he? A bit like you seeing your brothers or your sisters. You would probably recognize your brother or your sister if you saw them, wouldn't you? Probably. Well, I hope you would. Well, that was James. He was the brother of Jesus. Who's got the next one? What are we on to now? Number five? Is that right?
Yep.
Let's put the pieces together. Who are the next eyewitnesses?
Paul,
that's right. Now, this is a remarkable story. Paul encountered Jesus for himself. This would be like the leader of ISIS, that terrible, awful terrorist group coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Because Paul, when Jesus appeared to him, wanted to get rid of all Christians, which is some of the things that ISIS are doing at the moment. So here's Paul's story on the screen. Look, here it is. His eyewitness, Paul. What does he say? This is Paul's story. He says, Jesus presented himself alive to me. He said, it was fitting that I should bring up the rear. I said, I don't deserve to be included in the inner circle. And here it is. As you well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp out God's church, he wanted to get rid of Christians, and Jesus appeared to him and changed Paul's life forever. Now, who's got the last egg? Let's put the pieces together, shall we? And what do we have on the back of this one? Okay, our last eyewitness. Let's turn it over.
No.
What's on the back?
Nothing.
Nothing. Now, the reason I did a blank egg this morning was because that invites us to put ourselves into the Easter story. Because Jesus said something very important to Thomas, who wasn't sure whether Jesus was alive or not. This is what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, it's great, he said, for those people to actually see me with their own two eyes. But he says, if you see me through the eyes of faith, he says, even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. So the blank egg is an invitation to put ourselves into the Easter story this morning. I wonder where you are in the Easter story when it comes. Have you recognized who Jesus is? Have you recognized that Jesus is alive? Well done. Thank you for helping me this morning. I'm going to let you go back to your seats. So I want to show a very short video clip before we sing our next song together. You can take those pieces away with you. Yay. Here's a video clip of somebody talking about, I'm just going to hold that for a second, somebody talking about all the different ways that Jesus appeared during his resurrection appearances. It's very fast. If you think I talk quickly, this guy talks even more quickly. So you've got to listen very carefully.
At the very foundation of Christianity is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But could it all have been made up, and are there any rational grounds for believing it? Well, yes, there are two main lines of argumentation. Firstly, that the tomb was empty, Jesus' body wasn't found. And secondly, the variety and character of the resurrection appearances. Any one of those on its own you could imagine being made up, but the two together are much stronger. But think about the variety of resurrection appearances. Jesus appeared to men and women singly, to men and women in groups, groups ranging from 2 to 500. He appeared indoors, outdoors, in Judea, in Galilee. He appeared in the countryside, in the city. He appeared close up and at a distance. He appeared morning and evening, by prior appointment, without prior appointment. He appeared on a hill, by a lake, on a road. He appeared sitting, standing, walking. The variety is quite amazing, and he is always talking. He eats with people. He appears to adults, never to children. The variety and character of the resurrection appearances is not the sort of thing that is anything like the supposed appearance of ghosts or the religious visions that people say they often have, it's something far more real. And that means it's not something you can put down just to a certain amount of gullibility or imagination. But why take my word for it? Why not read the text for yourself?
Well, there you are. All those kind of appearances, okay? So we've looked at some of the ones with the help of some of our children this morning, but look at the different ways in which Jesus appeared. And we want to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Resurrection is a kind of strange thing to talk about sometimes because we're not used to people coming back from the dead. We're not used to dead things coming alive again. Or are we? Because one of the things that I suddenly started to think about when I began to think about resurrection again this Easter was that actually all around us, things that look dead are coming alive again. A little while ago, somebody gave me one of these. It's called, anybody know what they're called? An amaryllis. Huge big bulb. And it looks dead. And it looks really ugly, doesn't it? And it really doesn't look very nice. But what you do is you plant it in a little bit of soil, you give it a bit of water, a little bit of heat, and this ugly, dead-looking thing, if you do what it says on the packet, which I managed to do actually this time, turned out to be something like this. So you see, we are used to seeing things that look dead coming alive again, and sometimes looking very different when they're alive again. Or if you put some of these into the ground, anybody know what these are? Daffodil bulbs. They look dead, they look horrible, they look useless, but stick them in the ground and what happens this time of the year? They turn into something like this, and here they are all the way along the side of the church, all the way along the side of the windows. Daffodils, dead things coming alive again. Now what about trees that look a bit like this in the winter? They look horrible, don't they? But then you start looking at the trees now and you begin to see that those sort of trees can turn into these kind of trees. And you see all around us at this time of the year, dead things, things that look dead, becoming alive again, and actually looking much more beautiful than they were when they were dead. And that reminds me a little bit about the resurrection of Jesus, because that's what the resurrection is all about. Someone who was dead, coming alive again. And I want to, in the last few minutes of our service, just very gently say this to you. This is not just something that we talk about. It's great to talk about it, and it's great to sing about it. But it is something that we can experience. And here's how it works. The resurrection of Jesus. Here's some things in the present, while we are alive now, we can experience, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can experience new life in Jesus Christ. And when somebody comes to faith in Christ, here's what Jesus himself said in John's Gospel. He says, I tell you the truth. Here's Jesus speaking. Remember we're talking about eyewitness accounts, recording what Jesus says for us. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. They will not be condemned. Look at this last bit. They've crossed over from, what does it say? Death to life. Resurrection. Because when somebody becomes a Christian or a follower of Jesus, it's like you wake up on the inside. As God's Spirit comes and lives in us, you begin to look at the Bible and you see things you never saw before. And you hear God starting to speak to you as you read the Bible and as you talk to him in prayer. It seems that something that was dead in us suddenly becomes alive when we become followers of Jesus. And that comes because of the resurrection of Jesus. So here's the first thing in the present. We can experience new life as followers of Jesus Christ. But here's the second thing we can experience in the present. Resurrection not only offers us new life, but it gives us new hope. And that's really important. We need hope in a world like today, don't we? We look around our world today and it's easy to come to the conclusion that people did on Good Friday, that God is somehow or other absent. In the darkness of Good Friday, God's gone missing, that he's not in control. But one of the things about the resurrection story proves to us is that actually God is in control, even in the times when it looks as if he isn't. Even in the times when a plane has flown into the side of a mountain. Even at times when Christians are persecuted and murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Even at times when our own lives, and we look at our lives and our circumstances and our relationships and we think these are not what they should be. Because we live in a fallen and broken world. The Easter story gives us hope. It brings faith out of doubt. And it brings joy out of fear, doesn't it? And it reminds us that God always keeps his promises, that ultimately God will do what he says he will do. And when it comes to hope, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has said a day is coming when I'm going to put everything in this world right again. And here's what it says, Acts 17, for God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by what? By raising him from the dead. So here's proof, living hope in the here and now, because one day God is going to put everything right, and he's proved that to us by raising Jesus from the dead. So here are some things we'd experience in the present when it comes to following Jesus. New life in Jesus, new hope in this life. And then when it comes to the future, well, the resurrection's got some important things to say to us about the future as well. So we thought about resurrection in the present, resurrection in the future. It promises a new start after death. For the followers of Jesus, the Bible says to us, death is not the end of the story. In many ways, it is the beginning of the rest of our lives. C.S. Lewis, whom I love, as many of you will know, has a lovely expression when it comes to talking about life after death. He talks about school and school holidays and stuff, and he says the term is over and the holidays are about to begin. You know, some of us know what that feels like, don't we? The term is over, the holidays are about to begin, that sense of anticipation. And according to the Bible, the followers of Jesus can feel like that about life after death. And why do we say that? Well, we say that because the Bible ties the resurrection of Jesus in with life after death. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. That's what we've been singing about. That's what we've been proclaiming this morning. It says, so also we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So here's how it works. Christ died and Christ has risen. When we become followers of Christ, he wakes us up spiritually. And when we die, we also will rise, because that's what Jesus has done. So resurrection gives us a new start after death. And finally, the resurrection secures our place in God's new creation. I had to push this in this morning, because here in this church, we've been looking at the new creation almost since Christmas time. And how appropriate it is for us to finish here on Easter Sunday. The resurrection of Jesus secures our place in God's new creation. There's a lovely passage, isn't there, Revelation 21, which we've really enjoyed here over recent weeks and months. And here's what it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And it talks about God coming to live with his people in a new resurrected earth, when we will have resurrected bodies, when we will live with the resurrected Jesus Christ. And God says there will be no more death or crying or mourning or pain, because the old order of things will have passed away. And in that lovely glimpse we have of the future, God says to John, who sees it, write this down. Write it down so that you don't forget it. Write these words down because they're trustworthy and true. Resurrection secures our place in God's new creation. Resurrection in the present, not just something we talk about today, but something that we experience, isn't it? New life in Christ, new hope, in terms of understanding that God will always keep his promises and he will always keep his word, just as he did in Good Friday and as he does on Easter Sunday. A new start, but death is not the end of the story, securing our place in God's new creation. My friends, we have so much to celebrate this morning, because this is what the resurrection means to the followers of Jesus Christ. So I want to end with a video clip that sort of starts to pull this together for us, to remind us again that the resurrection is not just something that we talk about. It's not just something that we sing about. It is something that we experience in the here and now, and also through life after death. You may remember a few minutes ago we had the empty Easter egg, didn't we? The blank Easter egg. And I was saying to you this morning, you know, where are you in the Easter story? Because that's a good question for us to ask on a day like today, isn't it? Have you sort of seen through eyes of faith that Jesus is alive? Have you heard the eyewitness accounts and through faith in Christ say, I believe that Jesus is alive? Because if you can say that this morning, then these things that we've been saying about the resurrection become true in your own experience. We experience new life. We wake up on the inside spiritually. We have a new hope that no matter how dark life may seem today, there is a day coming when God is going to put everything right again. A new start, guaranteed, promise, life after death because of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then most amazingly, our place in God's new creation. If you are here this morning and you're not sure about Jesus and who he is or what we've been thinking about, there's some lovely little booklets at the end of each row of seats called Why Jesus? Take one with you, read it, and discover for yourself why Resurrection Sunday means so much to the people of God. Dear God, thank you for being alive. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for living in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.